Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This week's sermon was delivered by Dennis Herman. Here's Kathy Perkinson with our scripture reading.
I'm reading today from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." The word of God for the people of God.
The Lord's unfailing love and mercy never cease, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. How special for Betsy and me to be here in this holy place, remembering the names of such friends and family in the faith, and seeing you on a new day, rejoicing that this is the day the Lord has made. In my decades as pastor here and in other places, I loved the questions of little children, April. They often ask me, "Are you God?" Or sitting in my office looking around, "Do you own this place?" And I like this one, "What kind of car does God drive?" Now, the first two were easy to answer, no, emphatically, no, I'm not God, and I don't own this place. But the third one got my creative juices flowing, and I happened to say, "Well, you know, I'm not sure what kind of car God drives, but I'm pretty sure it's a blue and white 55 Chevrolet that I had when I was 16 years old." Forgive me for that if you were the one child who asked that question. Moses, like these children, is curious. He's just experienced the presence of God arriving not in a 55 Chevy, but in another vehicle, a flaming, burning bush that would not be consumed. Here Moses is, minding his own business out, herding the sheep, his father-in-law's sheep, on the side of Mount Horeb. It must have been a frightening experience to look over and see a bush that was burning there in the middle of a dry, parched area where a fire could easily break out if there were any brush at all to burn. So Moses, in his curiosity, advances. But then he turns his head aside in fear, avoiding staring at what appears to be this God. And it is speaking to him from within a burning bush, that voice of God that appears to be burning alive. And in the bush, there was a voice that says something that would change Moses' life, that would change the life and lives of all his people, would change the world, would change this church and all churches for all time. 2 years and 3 months ago, we were all like Moses, going about our business, enjoying or complaining about our routine, work and play, home and church, taking for granted that such normalcy and such predictability would just last forever. That's the way it would be. Then came a flaming bush, hot and consuming, still smoldering now, COVID-19. And within months, our lives changed, didn't they? We hoarded toilet paper. We isolated in our homes. We washed our hands over and over like a paranoid Lady Macbeth. We sanitized everything that we could. We hung our masks on our hall racks or on our mirrors in our cars, and we generally avoided each other. And at the very beginning of the Lenten season, 2 years and 2 months ago, I remember a pastor friend who said, "Well, it looks as if we've given up church for Lent." And today we ask, did we give up church forever? Pastors unaccustomed to televised services quickly learned how to use teleprompted sermon notes and to reassure their flock, fighting their own uncertainties, that God really still cared, that somehow God's voice could be heard through YouTube and through Zoom and live streaming. We dealt with our grief at a distance. And so I was aware of that as we read those names, and I felt the tears welling up as we remembered those that we said goodbye to over the past 2 years and 3 or 4 months. We were unable to be at the bedside of some, to do hospital visits, to attend their funerals in person, all of which allowed us to deny our loss and delay our grief. Storing it all up, all that sadness, denial, anger, to deal with when we got back together sometime. And we did long to be back together, didn't we? To a return to a time when life was predictable again. We missed the church suppers, the children running in the hallways, the choirs, the smell of the fresh baked bread. Thank you, Chrissy, for bringing the bread today. That will be a wonderful experience to break that bread. The common chalice. We looked forward to the great crowds of Christmas Eve and of Easter Sunday morning, but guess what? In all the churches that I've talked to around this place and in Asheville where we live now, they didn't come back like we had expected. What was happening? Things just weren't the same, not yet. And we can all speculate, and we have speculated about what was happening, what this smoldering bush of COVID was doing. Maybe it was because we could hear the voice of God better in our pajamas, singing hymns and reciting litanies in our den. Maybe it was because we could fast forward through the parts of the service we really didn't want to hear. Betsy says, "Dennis, do you really listen to 3 services every Sunday?" I said, "Well, not all of them, just the parts I like." Maybe it was because we didn't want to see those pews, you know, where they, the ones we loved and are gone now, always sat. And that makes us feel so sad. Maybe it was because we began to ask the question, do I need church? Does the church need me? And maybe it was because we didn't hear the voice of God coming through to us in the hot spots, burning bushes of our lives, in the acceptance that we needed, the justice that we sought, the encouragement we craved. I don't know why, but like Moses, I am curious. And like Moses, curiosity, I think, could be our precursor to God's creativity. What is God going to do? There's some things that Moses did and did not do when he saw that burning bush. He did not run away. I don't know about you, but my response to a burning bush in a dry, volatile place would be to douse it with a bucket of water or to get out of there real fast. He did neither one of those. He allowed it to happen. He did overcome fear. He approached the bush wondering what could be happening. He allowed curiosity and his faith, not fear, to rule. What is God saying in this event? How might we learn from it? Those aren't bad questions to ask and may open us all to new discoveries and new challenges and to new creativity. Moses did hide his eyes. He was respectful. He was fearful of God, but he did not close his ears. He listened to that voice. Well, we cannot see God in the burning bushes either. Some vehicles God uses to approach us are just too terrifying, too horrible, too awesome, too overwhelming to associate with God. Some things are just too magnificent to behold with our eyes, and we have to turn our heads as well. Some meanings are too profound to reduce to a simple encounter, but must be submitted to months or years or lifetimes of pondering and prayer. God speaks to Moses in his curiosity to know more, to come closer to that perplexing event. Hear the words. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, in this amazing conversation with Moses, God reveals God's very heart and passion for justice. And I think it was Phyllis Tickle who said that where God's love is, there also is justice. Inseparable. God is actually moved to compassion and concerned enough with the suffering of God's own children to do something. No separation of love and justice here. God loves and God desires the release from captivity. And that something is to rescue them out of their oppression and deliver them to a new place, a place where they can feel freedom and they can be accepted and loved and shared and where they can prosper. And God wants Moses to help. Now, this is what I call a bridge moment to transformation. Transformation in the faith journey where we realize things have changed and we're provided a way to move, a bridge, if you will, to move to a new place. Here on that hot, holy ground, God reveals a new way is coming, a new place, a new hope, a new promise. It's there. And God offers to Moses this chance to be part of it, to be part of that new hope. And God would act and Moses would be part of God's action. In these moments when the bushes are still burning in our lives, there comes an opportunity to take off our shoes on this hot ground that we are crossing, to dance around a bit, start moving again, imagining, being reminded that burning bushes and God have been here too, getting ready to do something new and asking you to be part of it. So with the curiosity of Moses, let's ask, what would happen if the church began a deliberate process of saying, I don't know, and confessing that first, but let's imagine what the new place and the new promise might be for us. And when we experience those bushes so threatening and awesome, and we hear the voice within, maybe we will respond as Moses did. We might hear God's compassion and love and call to justice and release for those in oppression. But we might also hear God calling to something that we had never thought of before, never imagined. Here is how Moses responded. He simply says, here I am. Willing, able, unknowing, here I am with all my quirks, all my humanness, all my sinfulness. Here I am, too young, too old, too burned out, too sinful, too broken down, too tired, but totally yours, God, what's left of me. So do your thing, God. Surprise us. Tell us that you, Yahweh, God, the God I am, is with us. Drive up in that old 55 Chevy coupe and chauffeur us, or a burning bush, or another COVID strain, or a changed life situation. We are ready because we have said and answered your call. Here I am, Lord. Here I am.